We'll be starting our reading in verse number 11, John chapter 20, verse number 11. For our guests this morning, we are in the Gospel of John because we're studying through the Gospel of John, and we find ourselves in chapter 20 in our verse-by-verse study through this book, and verse number 11 is our text where it begins, and we'll read all the way to verse number 16. So follow along as I read out loud, verse number 11, John chapter 20. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. The title this morning is, Listen for His Voice. Amen. Father, we need you this morning. I pray for your help. Lord, we need to listen for your voice. God, you speak. We ask you to speak. Lord, I need you to speak. So please work in us this morning. We'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I got a phone call from a wrong number one time, and I answered it. I don't always do that. Sometimes I do, though. I said, hello. The guy on the other end said, hey. I said, hey. He goes, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? He said, is this Tom? No, this is Ben. Oh, man, I got the wrong number. And he hung up on me. So we just talked for a little while before he realized, I don't think I'm talking to the right person right now. Sometimes people are that way with the Lord. And what I mean to say is, we don't really know if we're hearing from God or not, because we can't recognize His voice. In the sense that God wants to speak to us, but we live in a world that can't hear the voice of God. We live in a world that has so many things that are being bombarded and brought into our life to distract us and to keep us from seeing Him and to keep us from hearing from Him. Yeah. Like, you're here this morning because you need to hear from God. Amen. You don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from Him. And He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you, but you have to listen to His voice or for His voice. And He speaks through His Word, and He'll speak directly to you. The world has a hard time hearing the voice of God. And sometimes God's people has a hard time hearing and recognizing the voice of God. Right. And what ends up happening is, in life, we'll struggle through life, and we'll struggle through navigating the decisions that we need to make and the direction that we need to go, because we can't recognize the voice of God. Mary here, she's weeping. She's distraught. She's grieving because of the loss of Christ. Jesus had died on the cross, and He had been buried, and we had been doing message talking about that leading up to this very moment. And Mary was like the disciples who would have thought somebody took the body of Jesus. And she even announced that in this passage a couple of times, speaking to the angels and speaking to Jesus Himself. Where is the body of Christ? The disciples came and they would have wondered, where is the body of Christ? And the stone was rolled away, and it was common in those days that there would be grave robbers who would take bodies and destroy tombs And so it was a common thing. And so the disciples and Mary would have thought that's what happened to Jesus. And so she asked, where is the body of Jesus? Where is he? And she's weeping and she's grieving. The Bible says in that moment that she peeks into the tomb and she sees two angels. Now I wonder if when she peeked in there and saw those two angels, if she recognized that it was angels. And the scripture says that it was angels. And John would have known that it was angel, but she had conversation with him, and it seemed as though when she was having that conversation, she didn't recognize, or maybe she's so distraught or so emotional about the loss of Christ that she didn't notice that these were different figures, being angelic beings. Whether it was the case that she knew it was angels or she didn't know it was angels, there was something unusual about what they saw or what she saw when she looked into the tomb. She saw these angels sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and the other at the feet. I want you to see that. Look at verse number 12. And seeing two angels in white sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And that's what she sees. And of course, they speak with her, "Why weepest thou?" And really, there's a whole message there in the conversation that she has both with the angels and with Jesus. But I want you to acknowledge here or notice here that there was an angel at the head and an angel at the feet. And the imagery would have been a very unusual and unique imagery. What would have been the purpose of this? Or what would have been the point of the angels being there and sitting in the place where they were? And really, it's a reference to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 25. You don't need to turn there. But if you study out Exodus 25, beginning in verse number 18, and go through verse number 22, what you see is God describing the way the mercy seat should be formed. The mercy seat in the Old Testament was the object that would be placed on top of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was to represent the presence of God. Everywhere the Ark of the Covenant went with the nation of Israel was to represent God's presence with the nation of Israel. It wasn't literally the presence of God, but it represented the presence of God. And so the Ark of the Covenant would be placed in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. And Israel, the priest and the high priest would go into the tabernacle and they would offer sacrifices. They would do that every day. For these blood sacrifice would be to pay for the or to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. One day a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the blood sacrifice and he would pass through three levels of the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and then he would pass into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, beyond the veil. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. On the other side of the veil in the Holy of Holies. And when you went into that place, you were in the presence of God. And so you did it with reverence and honor and respect. And there was Levitical law associated to how a high priest would function and would do that. When he went into the Holy of Holies, on the Ark of the Covenant was the lid or the covering, which was the mercy seat. And it was built in the manner or the imagery was to be two angels or cherubims, which are angels, one on one end of the mercy seat facing the other angel, which would have been at the other end, and their wings stretched out, as it's described in Exodus chapter 25. The instructions from God to the high priest on the Day of Atonement is he would go into the Holy of Holies with the blood, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. God said in Exodus 25, listen to this, that between the cherubims, God would meet with Israel. Between the cherubims. When Mary peers, note this, when Mary looks into the tomb, what she sees are two angels, one at one end and one at the other. The imagery is that of the Old Testament mercy seat, as to say that Jesus is the mercy seat. Amen. He is the place where God meets with his people. The blood would be placed upon the mercy seat, and that blood would atone for the sins of God's people. And this would be the place where God would meet with his people between the cherubims. It's amazing, the picture, that Jesus is the place where God meets with his people. That's true today. That Jesus is the place where God meets with his people. You know why you're able to meet with God this morning? It's because of Jesus. Why we come and we hear the message of God and he works in our heart? It's because of Jesus. It's because what he did on the cross when he died to pay for our sins. And he was buried and he raised 3 days later, alive, conquering death and hell. Doing that for you and me, so that because of Jesus, we have the ability to be reconciled to God. Amen. We are brought to God through Jesus. It's amazing. You know, the imagery is there. And immediately Mary turned her back. She turned away from this picture. And who does she see? She sees Jesus. That's what it says. Look at verse number 13. Or rather, verse number 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So she turned away from the imagery that we just described, and Jesus was standing there, but she didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And she begins to have dialogue with Jesus. As Jesus in verse number 15 says, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, as we said a little while ago, would have thought that somebody took the body of Jesus. And so she mentions that to Jesus here. Somebody took the body of Jesus. If you just tell me where his body is, then I'll take him away. She's conversing back and forth, not understanding who she's talking to. And then Jesus looks at her. Listen, Jesus looks at her and says, "Mary." He just said her name. And when he said her name, it touched her. And she understood who was talking to her and responded, "Rabboni," which means master, great teacher, master. He said her name. Now this morning, that's important for you and me because he's going to speak directly to you. He's going to say your name. Like he knows Mary's name, he knows your name. You know, the Bible is alive in this sense, that God works through the Bible, through the work of the Holy Ghost in the hearts of men. It's not an ordinary book. It came from God. The Holy Spirit inspired and worked through the men who penned the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit works through the scriptures to write into the hearts of men. He speaks to you. He says your name. It's very personal. It's individual. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows how to meet your need. And that's all of us. It's you and me. He works in us. He guides us. You know, he directs me. Listen, he is speaking directly to our hearts. And what we need to do this morning is to listen for that voice, listen for that call as he's working in us. Amen. I remember this would have been years ago before Melissa and I were married. We remember in the early 2000s, those Nokia phones that were like bricks and you kind of put them on your belt. I had a Nokia phone. And I remember Melissa and I had just started talking, and I would go home from school or from work, and I would do my homework, and then I would just wait. I would have the phone on the desk, and I would just wait for the call. Why? I just like to hear a voice. I mean, we didn't talk about a lot of important things. We just talked, and I love to hear a voice, and I couldn't wait. I mean, we could run out of things to talk about. It doesn't matter what we talk about. We can talk about the same things we just talked about. But we're going to keep talking because I want to hear your voice. This morning, we need to hear the voice of God. Amen. We need him to work in us. What you need this morning is God to speak directly to you. And you need to know what he wants you to do, so that you can know that you're not just following your heart or, you know, following the whims of our emotions. And I have conversations with people to try to help them along to, you know, to hear from God. And I say things like this: how can you know the difference between your emotions, your feelings, and the voice of God? Because it can be confusing. Yeah. Like, I want to know that what I'm hearing is God and not the emotions of my heart. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what it says. So we know that when we hear the word of God, God will guide us in the area of faith. He'll strengthen our faith. But it doesn't happen, listen, it doesn't just happen, you know, by default. It doesn't just happen by mysterious means where you are at church and then God mysteriously, you know, puts the word of God and faith in you. No. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing implies that not just that you're here, but that you're listening. And so if you're falling asleep this morning, you're not going to get faith. Okay? There's some of you. That was for you, by the way. You know who you are. Not everybody can see you, but I can. You're not going to get faith if you're asleep. Hallelujah. Welcome, by the way. You're back. You want faith? You got to be awake and listen. Okay? You got to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, not just faith cometh by showing up. No. You got to listen. And then what God does is He works in your heart. Like by the way, before He works in your heart, it has to make sense. I mean, if it doesn't make any sense, how's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit going to touch you? You come to church and it doesn't make any sense. God can't work in your heart. It needs to make sense. And so what happens is you show up and you listen, you give attention, and then the Word of God, it's being delivered and it makes sense to you. And you're like, oh man, this makes sense to me. And God, the Holy Spirit, begins to work in your heart. He convicts you. He touches you. Listen, He speaks to you and you can hear His voice. And that's how He works. That's what we need this morning. That's what you need. That's why you're here. You're not here just for the friendships and relationships, which, by the way, let me say, is an important part of what we do. We need to have those connections this morning. But we do need to have that. But what we need is to hear the voice of God. And we need to give attention to the Word of God so that He'll speak to us and we can hear Him. And what does He say? He says, oh yeah, this is true. You know, in John chapter 16, He talks about that. He explains to His disciples how the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, watch this, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Comforter, capital C, by the way, the Holy Ghost, when He has come, He came on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and what does He do? He works in the hearts of men through the preaching of the Word of God. Ooh! And when you hear the Word, the Bible says in John chapter 16, so when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So He guides you. You came, you're listening, and it makes sense, and the Holy Spirit is guiding you. He's saying this is true. He's guiding you into the truth. He's saying this is true and you need this. And so this morning, if you're lost, the Holy Spirit will grab your heart. He will speak to your heart and He will say, this is true. And all along the way, what you've been receiving and what you've been attaching your faith to, it's not true. It's not right. It's not legitimate. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us of that. John chapter 16, verse number 8 is what talks about that. That the Spirit, the Comforter, has come to reprove the world of sin. That word reprove means convict. And so He'll convict you. He'll guide you. He'll say, listen, what you've been associating your salvation to, it's not faith. What you need is to turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. By the way, repentance is a condition of the heart. And so in your heart, you know you need to be saved. In your heart, you know you're a sinner. In your heart, you know, I'm lost. How do you know you're lost? The Spirit of truth guides you, and He speaks to you, and He convinces you through reproof that you need to be saved. And that's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of Jesus. That's the voice of the Holy Ghost saying, you need to be saved. And I'm here to say this morning, coat's coming off. I'm here to say this morning that there are some people, get me all excited. There are some people, on a serious note, there are some people here this morning, this is where you are. Now, do I have eyes that are a window to your soul? No, I don't. But I'm fairly confident that there are some this morning that you came to church and you've associated the faith of unto salvation to something that's not legitimate faith. Right. And so you're hoping that your baptism, your good deeds, the money that you give, your good works, the fact that you've been in church all your life, all of these outward activities, outward religious actions, which make us, by the way, a good person in this world's eyes, does not make us righteous in God's eyes. He says all of your righteousness are as filthy rags. And this is the news that we need to hear. I call it the bad news when I do soul winning. We got to hear the bad news. The bad news is you're not going to make it on your own. What you need this morning is the voice of God to speak to you and reach to the depths of your soul and tell you that the truth of the gospel is true, not just generally speaking to mankind, but it's true for you. Amen. How do you know you need to be saved, Pastor? How can I know versus feel that I need to be saved? The preaching of the Word of God, the work of the Holy Ghost in you. He'll speak to you, and His voice will say these words, "This is true. This is true." You know the world needs to hear that. This is true. The world doubts the truth of God's word. But you know, I've written all the... that's not a word. I've written a lot of lessons and related to soul winning and trying to help people get to the gospel so that they can be saved. And I try to use, tactics in my soul winning to, you know, convince people almost in an argumentative way, not in a negative argumentative way, but are you against the arguments of this world? But you know what I have found through years and years, 20 plus years of soul winning? I don't have to convince somebody that the gospel is true. I don't have to convince you that the world is lying to you. And when you go to school and it talks about where we came from, the Big Bang, and all the evolutionary thought associated to that, I don't have to convince you some sort of a rebuttal or some sort of scientific evidence and proof that what God says is true and what the world says is a lie. All we need this morning is the message of the Word of God. And the Word of God works in our heart through the work of the Holy Ghost. If you're awake and you're listening, and the Word of God is being delivered in a way that it makes sense, and that God the Spirit then begins to guide us into the truth. So what happens in us is we know it's true. I don't have to convince you because the Holy Ghost convinces you. No, it's true. This is true. This is true. You need to be saved this morning. How do I know I need to be saved? Because the Holy Spirit is telling you need to be saved. But I always thought I was saved. But what's the Holy Ghost saying?
Yeah, come on.
You're hearing the message. Faith cometh by hearing unto salvation. We don't get to, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of, what you say it? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Holy Ghost begins to work in us to say, this is true and you need this. I remember when God spoke to me, I knew I needed to be saved. There was no question. I was a thief. I was a liar. I was a liar and I was a thief and amongst a lot of other stuff. But boy, God was working in my soul about that. I would go into gas stations with a big coat on. I was a kid. I'd go into this gas station and I would grab like piles of candy off the thing when the guy behind the counter was busy. And I would pull it into my sleeve of my jacket. And I would just fill the sleeves of this big coat I had on with just candy. And then, you know, I was like the abominable snowman I was just like, oh, I got muscular while I was in there. And then I would get out of the store and the clerk would realize what happened. He's tried to chase after me, but I was a fast runner. So I ran away. I knew I was a sinner. And I'm sitting in church. I'm on the back row. He's preaching about sins. And you know what happened to me on that day? I knew I was lost. That preacher was preacher. He was preaching. He wasn't even looking at me. There was more than 300 teenagers in there. He didn't need to look at me. He didn't need to know I was there. All he needed to do was to preach the word. And the Holy Spirit struck straight to my soul. God said, this is true and you need this. You are lost and you need to be saved. And today for you is the day of salvation. I knew I needed that. And there's some of you that are that way this morning. God's speaking to you. Do you know what you would be wise to do? You'd be wise to listen for His voice. Can I say that again? I'm going to go over here to this side. You know what you need this morning? Let's go like this. You know what you need this morning? You need to listen for His voice. You know why? Because He's speaking to you. Never done that before. You know what you need this morning? You need to listen for His voice. He's trying to get through to you. Well, Pastor, I'll get saved this morning. Yes, I'll do it. But God needs to teleport me to the front. God's not going to teleport you. Amen. He said, bring me to the front, Holy Ghost. Bring me to the front. He's not going to do that. He will convince you that you need to be saved. He will speak to you. He'll say your name. But what you need to do is listen for His voice. And then you need to make a decision to walk yourself up here and get it settled before it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. And how you know you need to be saved is the work of the Holy Ghost in you. And I know it works. I remember the day when He spoke to me. And He convinced me. That's what reproof means. It means convict. You know what the word convict means? You're like, I heard that word a lot in church. What does it mean? It means convince. It means there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It means I know I need to be saved.
Right.
That's what He does. You need to listen for His voice. That might be where you are this morning. You know, you might be like Paul, though. Saul, before he became Paul. Remember Paul in the Old Testament? Or rather, in the New Testament? Wrote half of the New Testament, how God worked in his heart. Remember whenever he was about to be saved? What God said to him? He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know what kicking against the pricks are? It's kicking against God. God's trying to speak to you, and you're kicking against Him. You're not wanting to agree with what the Holy Ghost is doing in your soul. He's trying to convince you you need to be saved. He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to tell you this is true and you need this. And we're kicking against Him like Saul. This morning you would be wise to stop kicking against God. Listen for His voice and come and get it settled. Or like Agrippa. By the way, Saul got saved, but Agrippa didn't. Agrippa heard the message from Paul, ironically, and said, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. Did you know almost isn't good enough? Almost isn't there. You might be almost this morning, but you're not there yet. Like, I need to be saved. Let God work in you. You know, you might be like Jonah, though, already saved. God's speaking to you. Did you know God speaks to people who are saved, too? Well, I got saved. It's all over for me, and that means I'm good to go. Got my badge, and, you know, got my little Bible in my back pocket, you know. Do anybody do that anymore? Anyway, got my tracks. I'm saved and I'm good. No. God's not done with you. He still speaks. It's like, well, how does He speak to saved people? You know what's amazing? He speaks to saved people the same way He speaks to lost people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why you need to be here. You know, you're like, oh, once I get saved, I don't really need to be in church. Wrong. When you get saved, you need to be in church. Just as much or more, because what we need is God to work in us. And He works in us the same way He works in us when we're lost. This is true and you need this. He says, I have a mission for you. I have something I want you to do for me. I have somebody I want to send you to. Has God ever sent you to somebody to talk to about the gospel? Have you ever been at the gas station, you had a track in your car, and God's like, that guy on the gas tank on the other side, he needs a track. I want you to give it to him. You know who's telling you to do that? That's the work of the Holy Ghost. I mean, He's speaking to you. You know what you would be wise to do? Listen to His voice. Let Him work in you. And God, use me to be what you want me to be. God, guide me so that I'll not just know what you want me to do, but give me strength to be obedient to you. We need Him to show us the path He wants us to be on. And then we need to take courage to obey like Joshua, who's going to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, out of the wilderness. And God said to him, I think at least 3 times in chapter 1 of Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. That's what we need this morning. We need to hear His voice, but we need strength and courage. God, I need your help to not just know what you want me to do, but to do it. Help me, I'm weak. I need your guidance this morning. Jonah didn't want to do it. He wasn't interested in the will of God. He knew the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. He said, no, thank you. And he bought a ticket to get on a ship to head the opposite direction of the will of God. How did that go? I mean, he ended up in a whale. I would say maybe he took the long way of getting to where God wanted him to be. Did you know there's some Jonahs in this room tonight?
Yes.
Say, Pastor, are you sure about that? I'm pretty sure about it.
Amen.
Sometimes it's me. There's some Jonahs. God's speaking in your life.
Amen.
He's guiding you what He wants you to do. He's showing you the direction He wants you to go, what He wants you to be involved with. Listen, did you know that we have 4 services on in 1 week? We have 4. I'm like, oh, Pastor, I did not know that. There you go. 4 services. Did you know that Sunday school is not the same as the service you're in right now? I'm preaching out of the Gospel of John. If you come to my Sunday school class, which is the best one. No, it's not. It isn't, for sure. We're in Ecclesiastes in Sunday school. We're studying through a different book of the Bible together. Did you know I'm pretty sure that if you're here this morning, you could probably be here at 9 o'clock?
Amen.
Oh, man, 9 o'clock. That is so early. It's not that early.
Amen.
Not that early. You could probably be here. But did you know that you probably shouldn't decide to be here at 9 o'clock because I said? How about you just listen for the voice?
Amen.
Not my voice. The one who says, you know what? You probably need more of the word, not less of the word. You probably need more faith, not less of it. We have church on Sunday night. We're going to do this again tonight.
Amen.
At 5 o'clock. Amen. I'm like, well, I got plans, Pastor. You know, I understand sometimes those kind of things happen, but we don't have plans every Sunday night. Or maybe we should change our plans.
Yep.
5 o'clock on Sunday night, what are we going to do then? I mean, we're going to do even more. I think my favorite service is Sunday night.
Yes.
Some of you haven't even been here Sunday night. That means you haven't even gotten the best one yet. Tonight at 5 o'clock, what are we going to do? We're going to do what we're doing now, but better.
Woo!
We're going to hear about missions. We're going to sing again. By the way, I love the singing. Don't you love the singing?
Amen.
The piano playing. I wonder, sometimes I'm thinking, are there three people playing that piano right now? You know? How many hands does she have? Six hands playing that piano. How does she do that? We get to hear, do that again. And God is working at Western Hills Baptist Church, and we're going to hear about mission. We're going to hear, we're studying through the book of Acts. And on Wednesday nights, we're in the book of Hosea, although Brother David's preaching this Wednesday night, so it'll be better even. We need to be in church. You need to be here. And don't take it from me. Take it from him who said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need to be in God's house.
Amen.
Let him work in you. But I don't want to. Then you're like Jonah. And you're running and he'll get your attention, but you won't like it. Because you'll be in a whale. You're like, man, Pastor, I think I'm in the whale right now. I think you might. Because, woo. Yeah. I know what God wants me to do. Why aren't we doing it? We're kicking against him. We're like Jonah running from him. But you would be wise this morning to listen for his voice. God, what do you want me to do? Would you give me strength to obey, to be what you want me to be? It's just being in church and being in the services and being involved, being active. Do you know why in the bulletin, or maybe you didn't notice yet, but I'll point it out to everybody right now. In the bulletin, on the right-hand side, on the inside, I put what the ministries we have at this church. And by the way, it's not even all of them. It's just some of them. And what are ministries? Why did I put that in there? Because you can be involved with them. You can do these things for him. You're like, well, I want to be involved. I want to do something in the church to help the church go forward for God. Read that list. Maybe talk to Miss Melissa, myself, Brother Stussy, Miss Stussy, and let's talk about what we can be involved with. But don't just do it because I'm telling you you need to be involved with ministry. Listen to the voice. Listen, God taught... Oh, man, here we go. I thought we were done being down here, but we're not. You know what Jesus did for his disciples on the last night before he died? He knelt down because nobody would, and he washed all of their feet. That's disgusting, by the way. But he did it. And he wasn't trying to be funny, because when he was done, he stood up and he looked at all of his disciples. What I just now did, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
What did he do? He served his disciples. What does God want you and me to do, saved people? I'm talking to saved people this morning. He wants you to wash feet. He wants you to be a servant. What are you doing? Well, you know, I'm kind of busy. Are you too busy? I don't think we are. I think we might be a little bit like Jonah. And God's speaking, but what you need to do is listen for his voice.
Right.
I think we could go on and on, but we better find a landing spot. Bring this thing in for a landing. Here's where I want you to be this morning. And not just me, I really think God wants us to be here this morning. Jesus is the mercy seat. When I saw that, it just was like, gave me chills. Read Exodus 25 on your own time and just think about the fact that what you're reading is Jesus and the blood and that God meets with Israel at the mercy seat, that Jesus is the way that we are able to meet with God. And then when Mary turned around, she saw Jesus. And then Jesus said this, Mary, Rabboni, that God speaks to you. Like, he says your name. Like, this is personal. If you're lost this morning, this isn't between you and me. Maybe you're getting offended, but it's not between you and me. This is not an issue that I have with you or an issue that really that you have with me. If you need to be saved and the Holy Ghost is pricking your heart, that's God saying your name. He's calling you to Him. He's saying, as it says in the Scripture, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Salvation. He'll save your soul, but you have to come and listen for His voice. And so this morning, that might be where you are. Let me encourage you to be like Paul, and this is where I'll finish. In the Word of God, in Acts chapter 9, don't turn there, but Saul, who wasn't Paul yet, on the Damascus Road, the light of God shined down, and Saul knew he was in the presence of God. And Jesus said to him, well, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then Saul said this, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Remember when he said that? He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That's what you need to be this morning. You heard from him. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus, he is saying to you. You, like Saul, say this, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the idea is, whatever he asks you to do, that's what you'll do.
Amen.
Amen. If you need to be saved, he'll tell you. He'll convince you. And maybe he already has. So what do I do? Lord, what will thou have me to do? So come to the altar. Meet Miss Sarah, Miss Melissa, myself. We'll meet you right here. Brother David, we'll meet you right here. How can I be saved? We'll show you right from the Bible. You can get it settled. This morning. You say, Pastor, I'm like Jonah. I've been running. Well, maybe it's time to come and say, Lord, I hear your voice. What will thou have me to do? Father, this morning we're grateful for the message of your word. Lord, I think about this message and the message like this, how you work in us, the work of the Holy Spirit to convince us of our need of salvation, Lord. And there might be some this morning who need to be saved. And we'll say a word here in just a moment about that. But I pray for them that you'd bring conviction. Help them to see you, Lord. And for those that maybe are saved and need to acknowledge that you're working in their life, I pray you'd guide them in your path, please. Help us to be faithful. Help us to hear from you, to be your servant. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to ask you an important question. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you if you lift your hand. Okay? You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I really believe that God's working in my heart. He's convicting me. He's saying, this is true and you need this. And I just want to acknowledge that by lifting my hand. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand. I'll pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody? Nobody's looking around. I'll just pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Anybody? You say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I haven't been listening for the voice of God in the areas, other areas of my life that He's leading me. I'm a little bit like Jonah. I'm not where He wants me to be, and I know what He wants me to do. And I want to ask, Pastor, I want to acknowledge that first of all, and would you pray for me about that? Lift your hand if God spoke to you this morning about that. If you lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Thank you. Really, hands all around. Let me pray now, even. Father, I pray that you'd bless those that have lifted their hand that you've worked in their life. For those that need to be saved this morning, and of course, we don't know who does or doesn't need to be saved, and you know all about that. And so I pray that you'd bring conviction and courage to take that step of faith before it's too late. We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's